having acceptable in our voice or in video.
And so, without further ado,
is there when I need.
Scripted for you specifically by the global elite. I'm Alex Ansari, and you're watching the 31st edition of Outside the Box. This evening is a special program geared towards informing you if you have the eyes and ears to listen. Right now, we're still in a war on terror based on lies and disinformation. The main question arises, why? Are we involved in all these things when you have pages and pages and pages of a documentation telling you the truth? Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we will be talking about mind control and the art of propaganda. You know, I've done a lot of shows talking about the problem, but tonight we'll be talking about specifically why they get away with doing what they do. And when I mean they, I don't just mean George W. Bush, I mean the powers that be. You know, a major component to understanding why this corruption exists is to hone in and understand how propaganda is a craft. It's a science. And why they get along with lying to you and you not do anything about it, it's by design. It's by design that's been a timeless art that's older than the foundation of the United States of America. To understand it, we have to study their art. We have to study what they believe in. The magicians, the dark lords of propaganda and spin, like Edward Bernays and Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler, is only when we understand what these people believe in that we can defeat them. Now, when people typically think of mind control, they think of MKUltra. MKUltra is a CIA program with an emphasis on experimentation with narco-hypnosis, which is the blending of mind-altering drugs with careful hypnotic programming. This went on in the 1950s. This continued until the 1960s. They experimented, the CIA, I mean, with people that were in mental hospitals. And they also experimented later on with people that were in the army. And what they had done was a crack CIA team was formed that could travel at any moment's notice to anywhere in the world. And their task was to create new interrogation techniques and ensure that victims would not remember being interrogated and programmed. All manner of narcotics, from marijuana to LSD, heroin, and sodium pentothal, which is the so-called truth drug, were regularly used. And despite poor results, the CIA-sponsored mind control program flourished even after its so-called was eliminated. In 1977, there were church hearings that investigated that. In this next clip, which we're going to roll right about now, this is basically about MKUltra and what it is. Now, this is a form of overt mind control. It is a form of overt brainwashing. Now, tonight we're going to be talking about covert brainwashing, the kind of brainwashing that we're all victim to if we're not paying attention, if we're not seeing the writing on the wall. But MKUltra is a good way to start the program because it gives you an idea of what happened then that most Americans are not aware of. So when we get back, we'll get into that, some of that stuff, and get to your phone calls at about 40 after. Until then, stay tuned. A lot more coming your way.
Mind sciences, or the study of human behavior in relation to the mind, is the newest of all the arts. It's less than 100 years old. And it is by far the one that is most cloaked in secrecy.
The origins of psychological warfare were in Nazi Germany. And in the Nazi ideology, they had something that was called Weltanschauungskrieg, which means worldview warfare. The idea for them was imposing the Nazi worldview on the countries that they had occupied. The Americans picked up this idea, created an American version of it, and called that psychological warfare. Trying to understand psychological warfare and trying to understand the American approach to the post-war efforts to control people's minds, both as individuals and on a mass scale, there's a lot of illusions about how that was done. Were Nazis involved in that process? Yes, they were.
Project Paperclip was a United States government sanctioned CIA operation for the importation of Nazi and fascist scientists into the United States. Their statement was simply this: if we don't bring these people into this country and contain them, then our enemies, the Soviet Union, will get them. The first wave was to bring these scientists. There were 700-odd propulsion scientists, and then there were some 600 and some odd mind sciences people that they brought in. The CIA was given the responsibility of actually placing the individuals out of Project Paperclip into the military-industrial complex, including our colleges and universities. Mind control was a psychological warfare weapon that Adolf Hitler regarded as the answer for taking over the entire planet. The name for the mind control research in this country was MKUltra.
MKUltra was one program of a series of programs that came out of the CIA to experiment with different types of mind control using drugs, using electroshock, using insulin shock, and other techniques.
I think that the goal for those people who planned the program was very straightforward. It was an attempt to figure out a way to interrogate people and to learn how to protect their own agents against control by others. If you put someone in a position of being disabled by not feeding them or not allowing them to sleep or overwhelming them with sound, if you use massive shock treatment and you give people massive doses of drugs such as PCP or mescaline or amphetamines or LSD, and if you put them in periods of darkness where they can't predict from one minute to another what is going to happen next, so they're always dreading, there's no consistency to sort of what's going to happen, anybody can be put in a position of being open to brainwashing. Ewan Cameron was probably the foremost psychiatrist of his time in the 1950s. He was using high-tech sound techniques. He was using multiple kinds of loop recorders to force people to listen to recorded messages 24 hours a day for weeks on end to basically destroy people's thinking patterns.
The lysergic acid into the vein, and he patted me on the shoulder and said, "Now there, lassie, we'll see you later." And I started to feel very frightened, and the fright became a terror, and I sort of began throwing myself from one side of the room to the other. I didn't know what to do to stop this feeling. It felt like my bones were melting, that I was I just didn't know who I was anymore.
This is not just break-ins in people's homes. It's not just invasions of privacy by illegal wiretapping. This is an invasion of a person's mind. And that is about as profound an injury, except for loss of life, that the government can impose.
This was a post-Nazi program, if you will. It was an Americanization.
I have often made the statement, and I still make it flippantly, the Nazis didn't lose the war. They just had to move.
They just had to move. The Nazis didn't lose the war. They just had to move. One of the problems with our founding fathers was that they were living in a time where these kind of technologies were not as sophisticated as they are today. The money wasn't there. The knowledge wasn't there. The science wasn't there. So when they wrote things like the fourth article in the Bill of Rights, they weren't able to get into specifics about mind control techniques because it didn't exist then. All we have, though, is the fourth amendment in the Bill of Rights, which states the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly described in a place to be searched, and the persons or things to be seized. As most of you know now, the Constitution is being given lip service by our politicians. That is all. Lip service. Think about the television today. Now, that is the mind control weapon that they are using on you, and the radio, and video games, and the internet, and many other things. That is why they are controlling all of it. We're going to talk tonight about network television. Look at Westinghouse and CBS, and General Electric and NBC. General Electric owns NBC. Westinghouse owns CBS. These are defense contracting companies who have a firm interest in the war today. But radio isn't any different in its ability to brainwash a whole entire country. I'm going to take you back to 1938. 67 years ago, 6 million Americans were unwitting subjects in an experiment in psychological warfare. I mean, we're talking about 1 million people believed that we were under attack by Martians, and they panicked. Later on, it was a joke. It was revealed to be a joke. But the panic was already done. What this was an experiment to see how the populace would react to a crisis, an external one. What it was to see how people would behave, how much fear can be generated if they were to do that, if they were to tell people that they were invaded from an outside source by Martians. And you're talking about time before television. So the science goes back way, all the way back to 1938 and beyond. But that's, in our multimedia society, one of the reasons, one of the examples that I have where it started. Now, think about television. Most of you don't think of television as being a mind control weapon, but experiments conducted by researcher Herbert Krugerman reveal that when a person watches TV, brain activity switches from the left to the right, and the left hemisphere is logical thought. The right brain, however, treats incoming data uncritically, processing information holes, leading to emotional rather than logical responses. Also, when you're watching TV, there's a release of endorphins, the body's natural opiates. Thus, it's possible to become physically addicted to watching TV. This is borne out of numerous studies that have shown that very few people are able to kick the television habit. Now, another part of you that turns on when you watch TV is the reptilian brain. It's the part that deals with fear, that deals with control, that deals with the physical world. The reptilian brain, the mammal. To the reptilian brain, what it sees looks real. To the reptilian brain, what you see, the information that gets inputted into you, goes directly into your subconscious. Just like that. Look, similarly, we know a commercial is trying to manipulate us. We know the TV there is trying to manipulate you. But by the time it goes into your subconscious, by the way TV is constructed, the way it's utilized, you don't know it yet because it already goes straight into the part of your brain and it'll remember it and you can act on something and not know why. I have a new article on alexansary.blogspot.com that lists all these examples of how our thoughts are not necessarily our own. I've asked the question so many times, why do people go along with the war in Iraq? Why do people buy the official story of 9-1-1, which is a conspiracy theory? Because they've been taught to do so. They've been taught that this is the truth. Through television, through radio, through the internet. Unfortunately, getting people to wake up to that idea is very tough. But propaganda techniques go way back. For example, we're going to start off talking about Edward Bernays and Walter Lippmann. Now, Edward Bernays is the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who was a very famous psychiatrist, as we all know. Now, Edward Bernays was one of the main guys to get support for World War I. The reason World War I needed support was you always need the people to get support behind a war, otherwise it's not going to work. You're not going to have the resources. He was one of the guys that was appointed to that. A quote from him says, "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country." That commission that he was on was called the Creel Commission, spelled C-R-E-E-L, Creel Commission. And it provided themes for speeches like 4-minute speeches to get them to go, yeah, this is what you want. War is what you want. And they crafted this science that was so sophisticated, that worked so well, that Joseph Goebbels, who started working for Adolf Hitler in 1925 as his top propaganda minister, read his books, including Propaganda, that was published in 1928, and took that science, took that craft, took that art, and utilized that in Nazi Germany. These are the kind of people that are known as the father of spin. Now, these techniques were not lost during World War I or lost during World War II or the Vietnam era or anything else. In fact, today they have become increasingly more sophisticated through the use of glamour and sound bites and music beds and things like that. Now, Bernays coined the term group mind and hive mind and engineering consent. This is the psychology that he had. I had talked before about the psychiatrist that looks upon you as cattle, as slaves, that their recognition, their status in the White House, in the media, the people they consult, the people that are their clients, the higher the degree of sophistication that they can control a person's mind, their effectiveness, whether it worked or not, depends on how far up the food chain they go within the administration or within media. This is a common theme that still exists today. Now, look at your television newscast, if you're doubting me, and say the graphics on your screen. You have a few minutes of blue-collar crime, never white-collar crime, always covered superficially right in the beginning, a lot of focus on minorities, a lot of focus on Mexicans and pedophiles and things like that to engineer an idea of fear. When they move on from that, you have a few minutes of sports, then you have a few minutes of weather, and you have random political jibber-jabber, which is never a debate, and you have a look at the weather that no one seems to forecast correctly. A lot of meteorologists today cannot predict their way out of a paper bag. The focus is to keep us in an unadulterated state of terror, state of fear. That way the globalists can attack any group that they choose to without fear of consequence ever. This is why the media is continuing to craft the art of desensitization, the art of dehumanization. This is really intense information, but it gets bigger, folks. Let's talk about the media. Let's talk about what you see when you turn it on. You turn it on and you have a glitz of glamour and sparkle and images geared towards, oh, attractiveness. Oh, look at that, attractiveness. And this particular bit you're seeing right here is an example of what would look like in Portland, Oregon, if we had a nuclear attack. This was just taken from the news a few days ago. Other things you may hear is a spooky bed of music geared towards making you wonder whether you're watching real information engage in your mind or you're going to get ready to do a stunt double for Mel Gibson. That is what that does. Other things they do is throw out keywords to you. Keywords, tear, suspect, crook, civilian. Folks, we're not civilians. Civilian is a military term when we're under martial law. We're human beings. We're Americans. But it's the jibber-jabber. It's, okay, here we go right here. You have a Crips member, LAPD. They're thinking about maybe not letting him die. Now, I'm not saying how I feel about this issue. It's irrelevant. It's how they craft the story, the editorial, the feature for you. It's not that pedophilia is good. It's not that terrorism is good or kidnapping is good. These things are bad. Crime is real, folks. It's the art of repetition that goes straight into that right side of the brain that remembers that, and it shapes the reality around you. And we talk about the war, and we talk about Iraq. We're using the terms that they've given us. When we talk about liberation or freedom or democracy, these are just terms given lip service. There's no real meaning to them. You know, it's like a monkey who's attracted to a shiny object. Many of us with the remote control flip through the channels like a monkey looking for that shiny object, that shiny thing that attracts us and makes us stop. Notice the repetition behind the lies. It's an old crafted propaganda technique. Fox News, perfect example. Fair and balanced, fair and balanced. Like Bill O'Reilly says, you know, he sits there and he points right at you consistently as he's talking. This is part of repetition getting you to hear the same message over and over. You may agree with it, you may disagree with it. It doesn't matter. As long as you're watching it, as long as you're addicted to having that TV on, you're hearing the same messages over and over and over again. It's a really sad day when the state, when the city, when the country can imprison a population and make money off of it. So a lot of these things we're seeing on network TV are actually infomercials for the prison industrial, military industrial, pharmaceutical industrial complex. They're selling you on the idea of a police state. They're selling you on the idea of taking drugs. They're selling you on the idea that you can genetically modify yourself to never have fear. With that, we're going to go to article number one. This is November 17th. Scientists may have found a gene for fear, a gene that controls production of a protein in the region of the brain linked with fearful responses. Mice genetically engineered so they would not produce staphamin have brain irregularities and were less able to remember fear condition responses, the researchers reported. The mice might be useful for testing drugs and other treatments of anxiety disorders. What this is specifically about is the new wave of the military soldier that is coming. They experiment on rats, mice, pigs, because they're similar to us in their psychology and their DNA makeup in certain ways. So if they can learn from a rat how to control it, how to make it fearless, how to make it a perfect warrior, then they're going to utilize that and use that in the future for your children of tomorrow. And that is exactly what is happening. You know, our minds are preconditioned to accept the police state at birth. In the educational system, it's all about worshiping authority. It's all about losing your, whether it be religion, your ethics, your morals, everything that's pure when you come into this planet. They feed you the system. It's like you're a clean hard drive and they add the programs. They make you fearful. They make you tired. They make you scared. They craft these things so well that when you see corruption, that when you see the police state in your city, in your jurisdiction, you know where it came from because you saw it before in the TV, in Hollywood. Hollywood. Yes, Hollywood works very well with network television. Right now, Bruce Willis is working on a film about the war in Iraq, and Oliver Stone is working on a film on 9/11. And there are other films in the works on 9/11 and the Iraq that I didn't even mention, including one with Harrison Ford. And what they are doing is selling you on the idea that this is working, that the situation in Iraq is perfect. You know, David L. Robb, author of Hollywood, Operation Hollywood, says, Hollywood and the Pentagon have a long history of making movies together. It's a tradition that stretches back even to the early days of silent films and extends right up until the present day. It's a collaboration that works well for both sides. Hollywood producers get what they want, access to billions of dollars worth of military hardware and equipment, tanks, jet fighters, nuclear submarines, and aircraft carriers, and the military gets what it wants, films that portray the military in a positive light. They create the script for us. They create this disinfotainment. What disinfotainment is, it's a mixture of disinformation and entertainment, and you bring it together, and that's what you have. News is not news, it's entertainment with the glitz, with the glamour, with the sound bites, the spooky music, with the key words that are thrown at you to make you remember. This is the new reality. This is America. And all we see every single day is death, unadulterated violence. Killing in the name of the mother government is praised when it's done by the military, but when it's done for someone who's defending their family, their home, or their loved ones, or things like that, then it's condemned, seriously, and you're getting life imprisonment. We need people that are in government that don't value death, that aren't members of the Skull and Bone Society, which worships death. Sharpshooters, bombers, assassins worshiped if they're fighting for the mother government, if they're fighting for the global elite. I don't condone violence, especially I don't condone homicide of any form whatsoever, let's make that clear. But when you look at them side by side, it's hypocritical. Think about your children today. 7 out of 10 children today are playing video games with a mature rating on them. And they get an F in accuracy in ratings and a B- in arcade survey and other things. And this is pretty sad because the video game market today is engineered to indoctrinate the children that are young right now in the elementary, middle school, and high school to fight for the system. A year and a half ago, I went to a very large electronics store. Oh, I went to Fry's. I'll just say it. Fry's. They had over 50 games about Fallujah and the war in Iraq, and the goal was to kill as many insurgents as you can and to achieve your mission. And what is the mission? Kill. Destroy, bomb. Might as well have murder and rape and all the other things like that in there. It's pretty disgusting. And now, PEG, which is Public Educational and Government Access Centers, are targeted right now to eliminate the channels like this that provide an ulterior or a different agenda than what corporate news gives you. I'm going to give you a few bill numbers right here because I haven't been doing that lately on my show. I want to tell you of a couple different bills that Congress would like to pass to eliminate this show and many others like it. The bills are H.R. 3146, Senate Bill 1349, and Senate Bill 1504. What this would do is eliminate channels like this and take away a lot of the money that provides for the facility, for the electric bills, basically for everything that keeps this place up and running. And at the same time, we're also dealing with the internet being basically dismantled. What they're going to do is let the main internet that we're using right now break down and release upon us Internet 2, which is regulated, which is, I mean, all this is about taking away free speech. What cable access does right here is, you know, it gives you local programming. It gives you local voices. What they would like to do is give you the national voices. They want to give you the official voices. They want to give you those that have already followed in line, in goose step, with the official agenda of the White House, which is death and destruction. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. In fact, there are Democrats that are behind this very bill. Like Rockefeller, for example. Rockefeller. That's a funny one. You know, basically, national TV, national networks promote violence, uniformity, and slavery over peace, diversity, and freedom. Here you have fresh content every week on a rotating basis. There you get the same programs over and over and over. For example, the History Channel repeatedly is showing programs about the Crusades. And, you know, we're going to get to some of that later on. But all these different blocks of programming that they give you are geared towards manufacturing you and getting you in line with the factory bell and the illusion of time. That way, through the hive mind that they can create, everybody shares the same goals, thoughts, knowledge, and understanding. A hive mind society gears it sort of towards conformity, enslavement, obeying the master. And with that, we're going to go to, take a look at this. Get a zoom in on this. Just go ahead and do a hot zoom. And what this is the U.S. report foretells of a brave new world. Okay? This came out a few years ago. And what this is a report on what the military is working on. Okay? A draft government report says we will alter human evolution within 20 years by combining what we know of nanotechnology, biotechnology, IT, and cognitive sciences. The 405-page report, sponsored by the U.S. National Science Foundation and Commerce Department, Converging Technologies for Improving Human Performance, a lot of them, it's calling for a broad-based research program to improve human performance, leading to telepathy, machine-to-human communication, amplified personal sensory devices, and enhanced intellectual capacity. People can download their consciousness into computers or other bodies, even on the other side of the solar system, or to participate in a giant hive mind and network of intelligences connected with ultra-fast communication networks. AlexAnsery.blogspot.com. All the articles that I'm going through tonight are on them. With that, we're going to go ahead and go to article number 3, Don. In article number 3, we are talking more and more on this program about the idea of microchips and brain implants and how they relate to the hive mind. In article number 3, according to Popular Science, in a few months, University of Southern California is going to be testing the first prosthetic, this is just from a few years ago, prosthetic brain part. Biomedical engineer Theodore Berger has created a 2-millimeter wide silicone chip that he hopes will one day substitute for damaged or diseased brain regions, holding promise for victims of Alzheimer's disease, stroke, and other brain traumas. Berger engineers the chip using mathematical models based on rat circuits. And that's what they're telling you. But now all the new articles that we're getting now are telling you something different, that they would actually would like to engineer you and tell you how to think and all this is good and we'd like to advertise you and control your brains and, you know, it's just sick. It's sick. I'm tired of going through all these articles every single week. Article number 6. Defense Department funding brain machine. Boston Globe, another mainstream source. It started when two senators discovered an obscure military program designed to gauge the chances of various geopolitical developments, including terrorist attacks, by asking people to bet on them. Within 48 hours or more precisely, two news cycles, the program was canceled, and the man behind it, John Poindexter of Iran-Contra fame, had tendered his resignation. What people don't know is that the DOD is already funding a research program with far creepier implications. A $24 million enterprise called Brain Machine interfaces in developing technology that promises direct to read thoughts from a living brain and even install thoughts as well. Folks, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And, I mean, we talked about the drugging of America earlier, how they basically also own the media. Well, there's an article also I have on popping pills in preschool from article number 2. And they're getting them younger and younger and younger. In this particular story, it's talking about how certain countries are banning that they take Prozac in other parts of the world and psychotropic medications like that, but not in this country. In this country, they're getting younger and younger and younger. All this is here to tell you that utopia is all around the corner if you worship the mother government. We're losing our power, folks. I don't get too worked up about it, usually. But tonight I am because it's a little overwhelming. The 1996 Telco Act provided the ability for all these corporate companies like Clear Channel to basically take over the smaller companies, the smaller radio stations, the smaller TV stations, and gear them towards all being in line with the same thoughts, the same agenda. Centralizing power for the purpose of making the most amount of money at the same time. You're looking at a dual point strategy of more money, more control. it's a formula called problem reaction solution. You've got a problem in your society, a rapist, a murder, a terrorist, and it's splattered all over the television screen on all the channels that they own all the time. I spent the last week over the break observing mainstream media and recording some of it and observing some of it and really looking closely at how they're spinning these things to make you so terrified of everything. From the problem, there's a reaction, the reaction from the public, which is terror. That's the reaction. Or the demand that the government do something, the government step in and stop the terrorism and add more legislation, more control over your very lives, just like the hate crime bill that I talked about last week. When you get done with that, you have the solution prepared, which is more power over you, more control, more worship of the mother government. The end of the world as we know right now is being sold. The Discovery Channel, the History Channel, all of it, geared towards getting you to focus on how you may die. Asteroids, invasion by UFOs, the Crusades, like I spoke earlier, earthquakes, terrorism, serial killers, pedophiles, kidnappings. It's all there. It's all packaged slick, delivered to you on a dirty ashtray. And many Americans are lapping it up because that's all they've known. I talked about the children earlier. I am so concerned about the children today. They are receiving all these messages. And when you receive all these messages repeatedly over and over and over, you end up with a script. Their end result is ratings. One of the reasons Fox News is so successful because they have great ratings. On Out Fox, they talked about how they added all these graphics, added all these CGs, and their ratings went up. The sensationalism, the music, the breaking news coverage. They know that they can get you to keep tuning in because it's now entertainment. When you get to the other side of all the terror alerts, and you realize that that strategy doesn't work, the little terror alert bar, they add new sophisticated ways of scaring you like they did in New York, saying, oh, you know, there is going to be an attack. We're looking at it in the next day or so. In reality, it was based on false information. And the New York City is now a police state. It's been a police state for a long time, since 9/11. But that whole idea of turning your police departments into SWAT teams is sweeping the nation. Whether it be when I film the checkpoint, or when other people are filming a lot of checkpoints and put them online, they're happening all over the country. Or a raid that's happening on a rave in Utah. It's spreading throughout the country like a virus. I mean, they're giving us what they believe in and using their 13th century minds. A lot of us are using our 13th century barbaric minds instead of using our 21st century minds and understanding what it means to be peaceful. The loudspeaker whispers to us, all our problems are by accident. There is no conspiracy. There is no design. If you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to fear. It's a mantra that's also repeated constantly in our minds to get us acclimated to the idea of there is no privacy whatsoever. Privacy doesn't exist, not in today's world. It's all monitored by the all-seeing eye, by the globe, by the panopticon that we're all inside. You know, and when we want into entertainment and we want to get away from it, what do we get? We get sports. We get sports and we get more sports. I'm not against physical fitness or participating in sports and football and basketball and weight training, but what they're giving us is the spectator sports, where the average American wants to be that star, wants to be on center stage, and what it is doing is enslaving us. It's in our nature to rebel against that which is oppressing us, but they know that. They know that, and what they do is they craft this false outlet for us, this simulated masculinity of watching the Super Bowl, of watching the basketball game, of going to all the Blazer games, to get you the idea of fighting for something, using your physical ability, being human, running for something, catching something. It's all simulated because everything's controlled now, including sports. They own all the forms of entertainment with Operation Hollywood. There are so many movies out there geared towards the end of the world, geared towards flying saucers. The show is not about whether flying saucers exist or they don't exist. It's all acclimated to get you to the idea of their idea of revolutions, of their idea of fighting the system. You can do it within their box if you vote for their candidate that they've owned, they've bought, and sold. The pimps and prostitutes along the Potomac River operating out of the White House. These are the kind of people they deal with. Now, we're not immune, even in the city of Portland Tribune. It's not that there's a giant conspiracy. It's that it's a sociological experiment that is working. It's the psychology of worshiping the police state. I talked for a long time about how it was a fraud. This whole thing with the shootings downtown. Shootings happen in the city of Portland. Shootings happen in the United States of America. But they sensationalized it to the point of where I just was walking down the street, rolled across the Burnside Bridge, and caught the checkpoint in action as it was going down. Checking people's tags, checking people's IDs, and pulling over the cars that didn't have the right papers. Now they're saying in the Portland Tribune, if you bring that up, that everything's okay now. There actually isn't any problems downtown. We want you to shop now. And that whole thing with the police state backlashed because all the people that own the businesses down there are saying, what are you doing? It's not so bad downtown. There's crime in the suburbs. There's crime in other parts of the country. Now the media has dehumanized downtown Portland, which is extremely safe. I've lived here my entire life. They're starting to find out that, oh, now they have the Portland Tribune, a very famous police state sympathizer, is going to say, oh, yes, it's okay now. You can shop downtown. On a side issue, look at other things that network TV gives you. Retarded entertainment that is catered like radio, like KFO, like NRK, and many of those radio outlets, to lowest common denominator. The jokes about farts and private parts and things like that. They may be in good taste in your opinion, and this isn't about a moral issue, good or right. That's all they talk about. They don't talk about the core issues. And while they talk about these fart jokes and these private part jokes and appealing to this very specific demographic, what they're doing is teaching people that this is fun, this is entertainment, this is okay that we've given you a fifth grade education entertainment system. And when people are indoctrinated into this kind of entertainment that you see on Hollywood and all of that, it implants itself in the subconscious. They remember that. When they do see something that's true, when a network, hypothetically, if it were to happen, a producer were to air a real story that focuses on the core issues, they're not going to notice it. They're not going to notice that a few days ago, a physics professor was talking about the 9/11 towers and how they were imploded because he studied it. Okay, they're not gonna really focus on that issue because the guy was A, debunked on Fox News, or they attempted to by Tucker, like I talked about last week, but that it's not important. What's more important is American Idol, right? What's more important is Survivor. What's more important is the Heartland Hero. Yeah, there you go, American Idol. It's, you know, the media has created this picture perfect society that we can go to utopia if we just buy into certain entertainment that's corporate entertainment, that's nationalized entertainment. Now, this isn't just about media. It's also about the city itself that's being constructed. If you think about traveling to another part of the United States, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, you could find a little bit of uniqueness in that city. You can find a little bit of style that city may have had. Portland, for most of you, is Pioneer Place. It's Lloyd Center. Lloyd Center likes to parade itself as being a gem of Portland and things like that. In reality, Portland has a very rich restaurant, rich history of nice restaurants, nice hotels. A lot of those things are gone now. Everything's become corporate, and the stuff like the Benson Hotel that was a Portland landmark is now owned by a multinational corporation, and a few rich people have interest in other hotels down the street. It's sick. Ruth Chris Steakhouse, many people like that. Great. That's a large corporation with like 100 restaurants. Everything's centralized. Everything is coming to the point where you know nothing else except what they've given you. With that, I've talked a lot. I've talked a little too much. I'd like to hear about what some of you are thinking about, what you've noticed, what some of the techniques you've observed that they use. So I'm going to try to get to a few calls, get through the rest of the information, so keep it brief if you can. And with that, we'll open up the lines. I'm going to go to another article before I go to that phone call. It's been a long week of school. I apologize for not being top-notch tonight, but it's finals week. Go ahead and go to article number 5. Harassment never ends. To control your mind, to control what you buy. It's not just RFID, it's shopping carts coming soon to your grocery store. According to USA Today, it says, you just want a piece of fish and the making of a salad, but your shopping cart can't keep talking to you. The smart shopping cart looks like a normal one except for an interactive screen and scanner mounted near the shopper. Nightmare or dream come true, the Smart Shopper cart is coming soon to a grocery store near you, along with an array of other gizmos designed to make your trip to the supermarket more efficient and profitable and to keep you coming back and back and back. Go to next to article number 4, and then we'll go to the phone call. This one is about advertising that you don't see until it's too late. Get set for the next big thing, invisible advertising. And unless you have no mobile phone, television, internet access, credit card, or youngsters pestering for products, you will get the message, like it or not. The advertising industry is warming to the challenge of selling products to a new generation of savvy consumers that are less drawn to conventional advertising. The more invisible the strategy, the better. The idea is to trick consumers into believing they are discovering a promotion rather than responding to an ad. In summary, in conclusion, what have you? There are basically 1,000 different ways to control you at this point. They have the money. They have the resources. They have all of the tax dollars that they need to enslave you. And with that, we'll go to our next phone call.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'd like to say that I cannot watch anything that's corporate anymore. You've ruined me to that. In a good way, though. I'd like to point out CNN. They're going to be running another thing about the bird flu, some big special, another thing to scare us. You know, talking about the propaganda and how they're shoving, you know, their views and their things that they want us to see down our throats. They don't give us anything else to see.
Right.
And also, have you heard about the thing in Hartford, Connecticut school district yet, about them oppressing the kids now?
Tell me about it.
Well, if a kid is caught using language which is considered foul to the teachers and staff, they can now impose a $103 fine on the students and on the students' parents.
Where does that money go?
I have no clue. They haven't said. They won't tell you that. They just say
does it go like to the school maybe?
I would imagine so. The police are also, it seems like from the footage that they have a pretty heavy police presence at those schools.
Right.
And also, there was a thing I saw on TLC the other night. You talk about people, them making us want implants and things like that. Well, they're now doing an epidural type thing for women, telling them that now all women, you know, I don't want to get into sex too much, but now, you know, to have the perfect sex, they need an implant. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just, you know, just a few things that I've seen since I've only been up on this stuff for a couple weeks since I've noticed your show, but in just a little bit of time, I'm just seeing so many things that sicken me and, you know, contradictions to what the establishment keeps telling us is the truth.
Right. It's escalating. Escalating.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many shows, and all you have to do is go look it up, and it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they still just try to deny.
Yeah, I understand. Well, what programs do you watch?
I pretty much am scanning the public access channels now all day long, trying to find anything but what's on corporate television.
Yeah, my favorite locally that I know of that are made here. I'm sure I'm missing some. Growing Concern is a pretty good program.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these programs focus on different issues.
Right, exactly.
I primarily deal with the police state control grid that is being set up around us because it's one issue that's not really being touched on basically by anyone in Portland that
right.
focuses solely on all the different factors.
Right.
I'm not saying that to put myself up on a pedestal, but it actually is really upsetting that I'm not hearing this kind of talk on whether it be corporate or local non-corporate television. But Growing Concern, Mattis Hill TV is an excellent program with my on and off co-host Clyde Lewis.
Right. Yeah, I saw that the other night.
My other friend Jim Raffel has a good program called TV Set, which airs every other Saturday.
Okay.
I think it's 5. He talks a lot about peak oil. I have different issues about that. I think that's still out, but he's highly intelligent as well, and there's another one. Born to Slack is good with Bill McDonald. He gives a lot of good commentary on the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you, and I did leave my number with your people there, and I would appreciate if you could give me a call sometime.
Okay.
Awesome. I did want to offer some help to you because I have some time on my hands for the next 6 months. So I know we're not supposed to talk too much about offering help on the air, but thanks a lot, Alex.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's pretty long-winded. I covered a lot of information. You can basically read my editorial, my feature that's on alexansary.blogspot.com. And with that, we'll go to the next call.
Hello, Alex.
How are you?
Hi, this is Jesse. Remember I saw you and Clyde here about a couple weeks outside there? Remember?
Oh, here, yeah.
Remember that?
Right.
Anyway, I told you to call you, so I'm just going to just get this out real quick.
Okay.
You know what we was talking about. I do admire both of you guys. And, you know, on a show like this, you really can't get into it, okay? But, like I said, my hat's off to you and Clyde. Tell Clyde to say hi. At least you're out there letting people know what's going on. It's a very scary world, a very scary time.
Yeah.
And at least you're letting people know what's going on. But unfortunately, I think, you know, it's just out of control. You know what I mean?
I do.
You know, it's sad. I mean, I don't like to think negative, okay? I'm a positive type person. But, you know, this stuff is, and I'm not getting into the, you know, what they call religion, but this is all, you know, prophecy, you know. And
well, this is my take on that from a non-religious perspective.
Sure,
I openly bring a non-religious perspective. However, I also respect religion. Here's my perspective. What they are doing, what they are crafting is their version, their interpretation of Revelations. The book of Revelations right now is a playbook for those in power. Now, that's upsetting to a lot of Christians, but it is reality. I believe that these people are occultists, possibly Satanists. The reason I believe that is because of the language that they are using, the behavior that they are engaged in.
Right.
And if I were a hardcore Christian, I would be rallying all the churches together to impeach him for blasphemy.
Right. Well, you know, first of all, you know, like people say, you know, they're Christian. The word Christian means Christ-like. Okay, I don't want to get into that, but I'll tell you something. What's going on is like, you know, like, yeah, what you're talking about is all true, and they're using, like, well, let's put it this way. I'm from the Vietnam era, okay?
Right.
So we're going into, like, it's the same thing except for that it's different faces, different places. The players are all the same. It'll be the flag, or they'll use God. Or they'll use, now it's what, democracy, right? Is that what we're over there for? It's democracy, right?
Sure.
When in Vietnam.
Yeah, Bruce Willis says things are really good over there.
Well, when I was in Vietnam, okay, when I was in Nam, mm-hmm. okay, then it was communism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's all about the same thing. It's called.
Hey, we got
power,
to go next. We,
okay, okay, I'm going to let you go. Power, okay. Money, greet, and tell Clyde to say hi.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry to cut, but, yeah, it's, I see it as Antichrist energy. I don't necessarily believe there's one Antichrist. There could be, but I do believe in Antichrist energy, and that is anything that's unspiritual, anything that is ungodlike, anything that's unpure, and that is what we're seeing right now. Some people are wrong 5% of the time. Some people are wrong most of the time. I kind of wish I was wrong about all of it, but I'm not. I'm not. I've looked into this stuff. I look into this stuff every single day. And I don't deal with mainline conspiracy theorist websites. I may go and see what's happening, but everything that I say needs to be documented to some extent. You know, remember, we created this system. The collective unconsciousness created over the span of several thousand years to get to where we are right now. And it's going to take longer than a day to deconstruct it. We'll go to the next call.
Hi.
Hi.
You brought up a little bit about religion. I think that, you know, a form of mind control has been going on longer than 100 years. And I would call that Protestantism, phony respectability that's brought about by the elites and such ways as everybody dressing the same or, you know, having a certain house, car. I believe that's a strong mind control in this country as far as people trying to be respectable versus being respectful of each other.
Yeah. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These things are older than time, it seems like. Look, if you want to... Next call? All right, we'll go to the next call.
Hey, Alex, I'm just watching your show for the first time. I just want to say this is an interesting point of view, definitely. I touched on a lot of bases. Speaking of the government and Bush, you know, religion and all that, how Bush pulled out of Gaza. Well, Bush can't be considered a Christian if he's going against Israel himself. A couple other points was that in Katrina we saw military presence with, you know, guns blaring, kind of a control there, I thought was very interesting. Almost a, what would you call that, military presence and control in America, United States. The other thing I wanted to point out is that credit card companies such as MasterCard are doing PayPass with RFID. There are local stores that are doing thumbprints already that are in place.
Right.
We're
going to continue to do I report. I'm going to have to let you go because we've got another call and we're about to end. Next week, the week after, pretty much, we try to cover the news, or I do, you know, that pertains to that kind of system. The biometrics, the RFID, the implanting, the police state control grid, the cashless society. It's all coming. It's already here.
But yeah. Oh, I agree. 100%.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next call. All right. You have to make it quick. Okay. Look, if you choose to travel down the road of truth, if that's what you want, you're going to have to be prepared for a few things.
You're going to have to be prepared
to be condemned by your family. You're going to have to be prepared to be condemned by your coworkers. You're going to have to be prepared to be condemned by your classmates. This is part of their conditioning since birth to be a part of the system. They may not know it, but it's there. It starts at birth. It starts in the educational system, and it moves on from there. It exists in the pecking order that exists in your workplace. It's not that I'm preaching some sort of socialism or communism. I don't like to have to repeat it. I'll have to repeat it every single show. This isn't about left or right. It's about the state versus you. We have to talk about what's going down, because what is going down is this country. It's not about communism. It's not about socialism. It's not about capitalism. What it is about, monopoly. It's about control. It's about slavery. It's about the elite versus you. Very simple. Not a complicated idea to grasp. You know, you must realize that there's a system that exists outside of this one. You have to get outside your box, you know, and really get outside the box of the things that I talk about in this program and start to explore more things about spirituality and creativity and art and music and things like that. You know, those aren't my primary interests, but you got to look at them. Coming up next week, Frosty Woolridge is going to be on, calling in from Colorado. And the week after that, I'm very excited to have Jack Blood on, nationally syndicated talk show host. And I interviewed him when I was in Texas. You can go to his website, jackblood.com. You know, for a lot of these things, it can be pretty traumatic to wake up for the first time. You know, when you wake up, it's like a hypnotist just came right along and woke you up. And you go, oh, my God, I didn't see it before. Oh, my God, what happened? But don't give up hope. Don't give up faith. Don't freak out. It's okay. Until next week, I'm Alex Spencer reminding you, it's a war for your mind. See you next week.
Stay alive, it's called survival. Survival, survival, survival. They smile in your face and they talk behind your back. And when you do a story, it's never exact. Some say they're your friends, but they really are not. Because they're only out to try and get what you got. Survival. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. In order to stay.